Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I am so thankful. I'm so thankful for what my God has done for me. I'm thankful for what He's done for you, but I'm thankful for what He's done for me. That He was willing to look down at a hard-headed, arrogant, self-centered, selfish individual. Hypocritical. And look down and say, I still love you. I still love you. Oh. We are so blessed. If we could just sometimes get a grasp at how blessed we are to live in this day and experience and feel what we feel. And, today, if you could go ahead and be seated. I spoke a week ago. Actually, a week ago, it was Wednesday evening. I gave part one of this message. I titled this, When Expectation and Faith Collide. If I could put a title to part two, When Expectation and Faith Collide, hope steps in. Hope steps in. We live in a desperate world. People are seeking for answers. They're seeking for answers and all kinds of alternative health and all different types of living different types of lifestyles. And I was in a restaurant yesterday having lunch with my wife, and there was a young lady there that was at the bar area, and you could hear her all the way across the restaurant. And she was talking about how that none of her alcohol buddies had showed up. She had been there since 10 o'clock when they opened, drinking. It was now 2 in the afternoon, and the bartender had taken her keys away from her and would not let her drive, which I was thankful for that. She was loud, obnoxious, kept talking about her drinking buddies and how they had let her down. No doubt in her mind, in her life, she's trying to fill a void with alcohol. There are people all over the world looking for politicians to bring them hope, to bring the hope and the change that they so desperately need. And as we go into this election cycle, it seems like we're in constant election cycles now. But as we go into this election cycle, there are a number of politicians that say, if you vote for me, I will bring about the hope that you so desire in your life. If you vote for me, I will solve the problems that you have. But mankind does not possess the ability to solve the problem of sin. It just won't happen. Frustration begins to set in. The level of expectancy drops. The level of faith drops. And there is no hope. But I want to encourage you here today that you are in a church of great expectation. You are in a church where faith is strong. You are in a church where there is hope. And hope has stepped in the building this morning. Last week, a week ago, I guess we 2 weeks ago now, we spoke on the dangers of the next dimension, and I'm going to kind of recap a little bit of last week's message, Wednesday night's message, so that those of you that were not here will kind of get brought up to speed. And I feel that it's very important that each and every one of us, if you could please go online and listen to these messages, because God is leading us, church. God is leading us, and I do not have time to go over this again, but it's very important to understand just exactly what God is trying to show us where God is trying to lead us to. And I've had spoken to many of you over the last few weeks, and the question comes up, where next? What do we do? Where is God taking us next? And in prayer over the past few days and past few weeks, I've been feeling that God is getting us ready. We have gone through a purification process as well as a need to continue in this process. It's just not something that we do one time and we never have to do it again. It's not like when you say, I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, that is all you have to do. You never have to do anything else again. There is a process of repentance. There's a process of baptism, and there's a daily infilling of the power of the Holy Ghost, and we must continue to live that in our lives. I feel that God is taking us on a journey, and I'm very excited about this journey. And as we enter into this next month, I've been introducing this, we're going to go on to another fast, a 10-day fast. Our last fast was a fast more for the church of purification and deliverance. The next fast is for God to impart His power into us and use us in a mighty, powerful way. The Bible says, the Scripture tells us that, behold, I give you power. He wants to give. He desires to give His church power and authority. If you're here today, obviously you're here today, but if you are here and you lack the power and you lack the authority and you lack the expectation, the faith, and the hope, I want to encourage you that all of this has come together just today for one specific purpose, and that is to change the lives of us that are here today. I feel that God is calling us in this last days that we live in to rise up and meet with Him at a higher level. I feel God desires to impart into us a greater level of faith and a greater level of expectation. Our theme for this entire year is expect. And I desire and I believe we are going to experience things that we have never experienced before. So when you ask the question, where are we going? We are headed into a very different realm. We are headed into a higher level of expectation. We are headed into a higher spiritual dimension. When we look at this, we could look at spiritual dimensions as different zones, as in like a speed zone perhaps, where that we go through one zone. And I believe that the church, that we've gone through a series of zones, and once we complete those series, then God lifts us up into a next dimension. We might have started out at 15 to 20 miles an hour in a school zone, and then it's 35, and then it's 45, and then we get out into the big road, and it goes to 65 into 70. But God is saying, listen, church, in this last day, in this last age, I am going to lift all speed limit restrictions, and I want my church to move as fast and as furious forward as it can move. A church body, I believe that God desires to impart to us powers of the supernatural. I believe that there are two kingdoms in this world. There are the natural and there's the spiritual, but there's the evil kingdom of Satan and his enemy and the enemies, his imps. I don't even like to make reference to them, but they are very real. They are very destructive. Then we have the power and the authority and the kingdom of the Heavenly Father. And I believe that in the day that we live in, God is desiring to impart onto His church and those that are willing to allow Him to work through them. He is desiring to impart His power, His authority into His kingdom. We are part of His kingdom. The resulting of this impartation, as well as the supernatural manifestation of the Holy Ghost as it is literally poured out of the heavens into our lives and into our community. And this is when a direct collision course with our expectation and our faith, and we are going to see what God is going to do. In Proverbs 24, 13 and 14, recapping our scriptures from Wednesday night, "My son, eat thou honey because it is good. And the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto the soul when thou hast found it. And then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." You are here this morning, and you have the ability, you have the opportunity to taste of something that is so very sweet. It is compared to the honey and the honeycomb, and that is salvation. That is deliverance. That is whatever miracle you need in your life this morning. If it's an emotional miracle, God is here and desires that you taste of the sweet delivering power of His Spirit. Psalm 62, 5 through 7 says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation." There are a lot of other people and a lot of other things out there that say, if you cling to me, if you cling to this, if you cling to that, we will become your rock and your salvation. But it's nothing more than sifting sand. But Jesus Christ says, "I am the rock. I am your salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved, no matter what may come against me, no matter what may push me, no matter what may pressure me, no matter what situation that I go through. He is my rock, and He is my salvation. He is my strength." My soul, wait only, thou only upon God, for my expectation. That is not in Him, but my expectation is from Him. Perhaps you have read this in the past, and when you looked at this, you've read it as if it is our expectation towards God. But what God is saying is, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." So we don't have an expectation in Him. We have an expectation from Him. Our expectation is from Him. When we look at the word of expectation, expectation means hope. Expectation means things hoped for. That is why we have titled this, "When Hope Steps In." This morning, when expectation and faith collide, hope steps in to the light, into your life, into the room. Expectation is the mother of all manifestations. Without the right level of expectation, we will never experience the power of the supernatural in our lives. And the world today needs a supernatural power of the Holy Ghost as it flows throughout this world. It's the only way that this world is going to survive is if we have a supernatural infilling of God's Spirit. As we lay a hold of the power of expectation and we allow God to release that within us, your future, my future, our future will be changed forever, and our divine destinies will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Do you think God is trying to tell us something here, church? We hear tongues and interpretations, as we heard today. God has spoken many, many times. We read in Proverbs 23:18, "For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off, which means that's telling me that surely there will be an end. We can take and we can look and say, yes, in our infinite minds, everything has a beginning and an end. But God says, I had no beginning, I have no end, and there will be no end of my expectation. There will be no end to the faith that I desire to pour out, and there will be no end to the hope that we are so longing and looking for. Our level of expectation is our God-given ability to make a demand on our future. So here today, you may look at your life now and you may look at your future, but I want you to understand that as you listen to this message and as it unfolds into your mind and you begin to process the thoughts as it comes forth in words, and I want you to understand that you may be here with a very low level of expectation. You may be here and you may have very little faith in your life. Your hope may be at ground zero, but you are sitting next to, you are surrounded by a congregation of people that have been praying, that have been fasting, that have been seeking the face of God, and the level of expectation is high and the level of faith is high. And when faith and expectation collide, the supernatural takes place and hope steps in to a hopeless situation. We have many people who come through the doors of this church every week. If you're a guest of ours here today, I want you to understand that we exist solely as a hospital. We exist solely as a place where the hurting, as a place where the people that are suffering. We have all been there. Some of us are even there today, but God desires that we come together as a body, as a unified person, as unified people. And as we begin to pray, our level of hope begins to rise. And when you come in and you feel like nothing, you can leave with something. You see, we find a story in the book of Acts 3, verses 1 through 8, and I went over this a little bit on Wednesday night. And this has been spoken of. Brother Noah had mentioned this in his message last Sunday night, and I had spoken of this about the lame man at the gate beautiful. I just want to read one little phrase that God just kind of brought me back to and jumped out at me, and that is, he gave heed unto them. He gave heed unto them. This was the lame man in the story. You can go in and you can read this, but the lame man, he had been there for 38 years, lame. Don't know if he had been at that gate, at that specific spot, but he had been lame for 38 years. So he had a 38-year-long infirmity or disease in his body, a physical condition. This morning, I believe so strongly in the Holy Ghost that God desires to deliver this morning. I prayed about this and I said, God, we're talking about expectation and we're talking about faith and we're talking about hope. I want to experience this. I am hungry to see your affliction go away. And as I said, when our hunger, when my hunger and the Holy Ghost's hunger in this congregation becomes greater than the unbelief of the people that come in that simply just do not have what it takes, they do not have the faith. When my hunger exceeds your unbelief, then you will be healed. That is when the supernatural, that is when hope, that is when faith and expectation collide. So we have this lame man at the gate, beautiful, begging, begging. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. The lame man, the scripture tells us, he gave heed unto them. He looked at them, Pastor Shane, saying, what do you have for me? What do you have for me, Brother Noah? What do you have for me? What do you have for me? I'm holding my tin cup out this morning, Pastor. What do you have for me? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That affliction has to leave your body because faith glides with expectation and the supernatural takes place and hope comes in. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. That depression, that anxiety, that sickness, that marriage issue, that financial struggle, that 40-year-long disability became history because expectation collided with faith. And in this process, hope was born and the supernatural was released into the situation. We read in Romans 12:3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among ye, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." See, God is telling us here, Paul is telling us, that to every man, God gives a measure of faith. Every one of us here today has a measure of faith. Some of our faith may measure very, very small because we've had afflictions that have been us for a long time and our faith dwindles. But some of us here have a very high, high level of faith. And I believe to every man that measure of faith God has given. And so many times that we think sometimes as born again believers that God only gives us the faith, but he gives it to everyone. Everyone. So here this morning, if you have very little faith, I don't want to say no faith, because to every man, it says, was given a measure of faith. How much faith do you need? The Bible says the faith is a grain of mustard seed. That's about as big as a pinhead. You can say unto this mountain, or you can say unto this situation that is in your life, "Be thou removed and cast yonder." Now, I love that. That's like nuclear power in the seed kingdom. Just think of that. The faith of a head of a pin. That's all you need. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, if you can just manifest that much faith, let me do the rest. That's all you need. Even the vilest sinner, the worst person you can imagine, God has given them a level of faith. And they have expectations in their lives. But you see, the key to unlocking a person's heart is when that fresh expectation is coupled together with faith. And that is always produces, that will produce the supernatural in our lives, and it will produce hope. Great, powerful expectation collides with our faith, in which God has given to each one of us a measure. It releases the supernatural. Fresh expectation is a collision of our faith with God's hope and desires for us, thus releasing God's glory upon us. God desires to prepare us for dimension in the supernatural. You don't have to go and search anymore this morning because your search is over. Your search is over. All you have to do is take that little measure of faith and that little bit of expectation and bring it down to this altar. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. You see, God desires to see us launch ourselves into a dimension in which our expectation collides with our faith. We struggle at times because we refuse to act. And because we refuse to act, God will not and cannot pursue. I want you to understand that. We read a very sad portion of Scripture in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. You see, when we sit down, God sits down. And when we get up, God gets up. Sometimes we wonder, why does God never move in my life? Because we never get up. We're content with sitting and wallowing at times in our own self-pity. Look at me. Poor me. Listen, everybody goes through situations. We could spend weeks here this morning just talking about everybody's situations. Get up. Get up. Because when you get up and take action, God gets up and reacts to your action. He reacts. Listen, He reacts to your expectancy. He reacts to your faith. And when He sees your expectancy and your faith, though it be small, it doesn't take but a grain of mustard seed to explode into a full-blown supernatural miracle. So we read here, and He went out from thence and came unto His own country, and His disciples followed Him. And when the Sabbath day had come, He began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing Him was astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him? And even such mighty works are wrought by His hands. They acknowledge the fact. They acknowledge the fact that He had the ability to do great things. This is so sad because they acknowledge the fact. From hence hath this man these things? Which, what wisdom, and which they're boggled, that blew their mind at the wisdom of this man. That even such mighty works were wrought by His hands. But is not this the carpenter? Is not this the carpenter, son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simeon or Simon? And are not his sisters here among him? And they were offended at him. They were offended at him. Is not this Pastor Roy that grew up in this church? Used to crawl under the church pews and get called down in service. Is not this Noah Strand who I used to sit at a bar stool and drink with? Is this not Pastor Rich Thomas, the alcoholic? Is this not James Hawk, who I sat in a prison cell with, and they were offended at him? But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work. He could do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around the villages, round about the villages, teaching. For most of us, the most powerful negative feeling that we'll ever experience in our lives is the feeling of rejection. People are rejected by their parents, children, spouses, co-workers, friends, peers, boyfriends, girlfriends. I remember I had a family member that went through a very difficult divorce, and I remember her sitting on our sofa crying. One of the biggest things that she was struggling with, she says, is I have such a hard time dealing with the rejection, dealing with the thought that I'm no longer loved or needed. People, rejection. In our scripture today, we read here, Jesus, he visits his hometown, and there in his hometown, among his own people, he is rejected. He is rejected. These six short verses tell of a homecoming, a reunion of sorts, where Jesus, no doubt, was excited about going back to his home, going back to where he began his ministry, going back to where he grew up. He knew people. He knew that there were people in that village that had afflictions. They had afflictions as long as he could remember as a young boy. I remember this old man or this old woman walking around in a cane or people having to carry them. I know there are blind people there that I used to meet on the street corner. He knew that this town had people in that needed the supernatural. Here he is. He goes home. He's a local boy, and he comes home excited. Understand one thing. He's coming home as a prophet. He's coming home as the Messiah. He's coming home as God manifest in the flesh. He left a carpenter, the son of Joseph, the son of Mary, with brothers and sisters. He left a carpenter, and he's coming home as a prophet, as a Messiah. But in the eyes of the town, in the eyes of his family, perhaps some of his family, in the eyes of his friends, he is not a prophet because they're far too familiar with him and they know him too well to accept the new Jesus. Just a note that when Jesus came home to the church of his childhood, the place where he was nurtured, the place where he learned from the scriptures, and he had learned the scriptures well, but the people could not get past the little Jesus that used to come and sit in their Sunday school class. They couldn't get past the little Jesus that now Jesus was a teacher and a prophet. He had been gone for 3 years or so. He had spent time with John the Baptist. He had spent time assembling a group of men that he called his disciples to assist him in ministry. He had met people who were hurting. He had met people that were bruised. He had met people that were in pain. He had met the beggars. He had met the blind. He had raised the dead. He had turned the water into wine. He had said, "Take up thy bed and walk," and he ministered to them. So in his travels, he's coming home and he's prepared to minister to them. And in your travels, you have come home this morning and you are being ministered to, but because of their lack of faith. He said, "Wait a minute. Is that not just Mary? Mary's boy, the carpenter's son. He's just a carpenter. He's just a carpenter." And Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. You see, understand one thing. Jesus knew who he was. He knew who he was, and he knew the potential that he had. But they couldn't see it. You see, he was God in the flesh, standing before these people in Nazareth, the town where he grew up, in the church where he was taught. And Jesus said unto them, "You don't even believe me. You don't even believe me. I want to challenge you today. You may say, Pastor Roy, I don't believe you. Then you will leave here the same way you came here. Even though there's a high level of faith and a high level of expectation, unless you believe. You see, he was amazed at their unbelief. You see, the image that of Jesus that the people had in their minds was he left here alone, a carpenter. You see, Jesus stepped outside of the role of his hometown people, the role that they had assigned to him as a carpenter, and he was rejected, and he had come home to minister to a people that he cared so deeply about. And Jesus desired to do great things among them, but they saw a carpenter and they took offense at him. I believe here this morning that Jesus Christ desires to do a great work. You may say, well, Pastor, I really don't feel it. You don't have to feel it. I feel it. There are other people in this place that feel it. All you have to do is react. We're going to end this service a little different today. And I want you to stand. You know, we've been desiring to see God perform miracles. And I want our altar workers, I want our ministers, our elders to come down here to this front. You see, the only way that we're going to get from here to here is to act upon it here. I don't know what you need this morning. I know there are needs here, people that need healing. You may say, I've gone down there before, Pastor. Nothing's happened. Come again. You say, well, you know, I prayed for the Holy Ghost for months and nothing's happened. Come again. I've had all of this overwhelming emotional struggles in my life, and I don't feel like coming this morning. Come anyway. I've had migraine headaches for months, weeks, years, whatever. I've been prayed for 5 times. I've been keeping track of it. All 5 pastors have prayed for me. Nothing's happened. Come again. You see, he could do no great work because of their unbelief. So what I want to do is our musicians can come. You know, we don't have to have a really loud, powerful, jumping up and down, shouting altar service for God to do something. You see, if I'm recalling this correct, Bishop, Jesus just spoke. He just spoke the word. And then he told us, church, those of you, he told us that greater works than these shall you do. He's talking about us. Greater works. I'm ready for my expectation and my faith to collide this morning and explode into a supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. Those of you that are out there looking up front, if you have an affliction, if you're struggling, whatever it is, if you need healing, if you need salvation, I want you to just come up here this morning. You see, this is where faith and action come into being. You see, he could do no great works in Nazareth because nobody wanted to react. They wanted to just sit around and say, is this not Rich Thomas? Is this not Jane Brazeman? Is this not Brother Kryaski, Ted Kryaski? Is this not? He could do nothing great. But because our faith and our expectation is strong this morning, God is going to do a great work. And I want you to believe and say unto that mountain that is in your life, no matter what it is, no matter what's been frustrating you, no matter what's been haunting you, no matter what's been chasing you, no matter what's been trying to defeat you, say unto that mountain, be thou removed. Lord, I pray right now for the needs, God, that are in this place. Lord, I don't know what they are, God. I don't understand it all, Lord, because I can't see, God, where you see. But, Lord, I know what I feel, God. I know what you've laid in my heart, God. I know what you placed in me, God. And there's people here, God, that need deliverance. They need a healing, God. They need a touch, God. They need the power of the Holy Ghost in their lives, God. Our faith, God. And our expectation, God. Our colliding, God. The